Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight was born in South Korea, grew up in Mackinac City, Michigan, and earned degrees from Alma College and Eastern Michigan University. He's had a terrific 35-year career in banking and was the co-founder of the private bank in 1989. Since 2010, he's been the chairman, president, and CEO of Talmer Bank & Trust, and as such, has acquired five banks. His name, Dave Provost, and we're honored to have him as our guest. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Dave Provost, the chairman, president, and CEO of Talmer Bank & Trust. Dave, we've known each other a long time. Welcome, and honor to have you.
Jack, it's great to be here tonight. Thanks for the invitation.
Can we start by talking about your mom and your dad and your childhood? Quite a childhood.
Yes, a little unique. I was born in Daegu, Korea, right after the Korean War. My parents were missionaries. More importantly, my mother was born in Korea. My grandparents were missionaries. In fact, my great-great-grandfather was a missionary in China in the 1840s. You heard about the slow boat to China? He was on it.
What's the biggest thing you learned from mom and dad?
Well, when you grow up in the mission field, there's not a lot of material possessions. So you learn about giving. And you learn about helping other people. So my father and mother really helped a lot of orphans. They helped orphans get education. They started a school in Korea called Munhwa Academy. Started with 30 students. Now there's over 3,000 in this junior and senior high school. Giving children in Korea the opportunity to get an education.
You spent the first 10 years of your life in South Korea. What's the biggest thing you learned in those 10 years from being in South Korea?
Well, one of the things that you learn is to do things on your own. The first time I saw a television set, Jack, was when I was 10 years old. First time I even knew about a basketball or football, or let alone lacrosse or hockey, was when I came to the United States when I was 10. So you really learn to do things on your own and to then really help people. That was our whole focus. My father made $500 a month. That was his salary. We would order all of our clothes twice a year, once in the spring, once in the fall, from a Sears and Roebuck catalog. We got our food delivered twice a year, all the canned food. The fresh fruit, if you didn't see it moving or swimming, you didn't eat it. So there was a lot that we did. Working with our hands, working with people, and making something out of nothing.
All right, then you go from South Korea to Mackinac City, Michigan. I mean, that's like two different worlds. That's like comparing your golf game to my hacking.
Well, Mackinac City, to me, was the big city in the United States. I mean, there were 600 people in that town. But Mackinac City was also a great place. I was just very lucky to be able to grow up in such unique places. In Mackinac City, the work ethic up there was unbelievable. When you turned 14 years old, you ran down and got your work permit so you could start your and get a real job. When I was 14, I was fortunate enough to get a job at the Pontiac Motor Court, stripping beds for 90 cents an hour. And then at lunch, I was a busboy at Cunningham's restaurant. And in the afternoon, I delivered the Petoskey News Review. Learning a little bit about business, that was the year there was a big murder up in Cross Village. The Detroit Free Press and the News were on strike that year. The only paper was the Petoskey News Review. I could take that around to the newsstands, and I would stack them up, and then I'd ride my bike back around, collect the money, and restack them. It was just a real opportunity to learn about work ethic and make a little money.
How many free samples of fudge did you get, Provost, a week?
When you live there, you really don't eat a lot of fudge.
It's all in the definition of a lot.
Right. It's a great place. You learn about service there because it's all a service industry, helping all the tourists that come up. It's a great place to live.
All right. You grow up in Mackinac City, South Korea, Presbyterian parents, ministers. Why did you ever get into banking?
Well, there was a step in between, and that was college. And I was fortunate enough to be able to go to Alma College, which was, again, a big school for me. My high school class had 20 students in it. Alma College, there was 300 in my class, so that was a real big school for me. And the Presbyterian Church and Alma College gave me some scholarships, which I am still grateful for to this day, to give me an education. And I got a very good education at Alma College. After Alma, I had two choices. I could go back to Mackinac City and be maybe the senior captain on Shepler's boats, or I could get a real job. I chose to look around. And the reason I chose banking, Jack, was because it gave me an opportunity really to help others. And that's my vision of banking, is really a service to help others. And it has a financial tint to it, obviously, so I can use my talents in finance and in service, and there I am in the banking business.
You started at the top. You were a teller.
Started right there as a teller when you I started at Manufacturers Bank of Detroit, a great bank, and now Comerica, and it I started as a teller, Michigan and Neckel and Dearborn, and worked there for 2 months as part of the training program, and then worked up through the desk, as we call it in the banking business, and then had an opportunity in 1989 to form a new bank. It was called the Bank of Bloomfield Hills. Later on, we changed the name to the Private Bank. Gave me an opportunity to really participate in the banking business and really to use my talents to serve others.
We're talking to Dave Provost, and as he stated, in 1989, he, Selwyn Issacow, and Rex Schlabaugh co-founded the Private Bank. When we come back, we'll talk to him about those days. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Dave Provost, who for 19 years was chairman and CEO of the Private Bank. Terrific bank, corner of
Woodward and Lone Pine in Bloomfield Hills was our first office. We also opened a bank in Rochester called the Private Bank of Rochester, or the Bank of Rochester, and then one in Grosse Pointe. So we had three offices. It was a great opportunity to be involved in the communities and really do private banking, one-on-one banking. You know, the old days where the banker actually knew the customer and the customer knew the banker. It was a great time in the banking industry.
I hear a lot about this private banking, personal banking, but what does that mean? Tell our listeners, what does that mean?
Private banking is really where the customer knows who is going to be taking care of them. And it doesn't have to be in a big mega scale where you have millions of dollars and you have your own banker. But it has to do with when you call the bank, you ask for somebody. You know who is going to be helping you, and that you develop a relationship with that person or that team. It's also to the where a banker then gets to know you and gets to know what your needs are, and maybe you can anticipate some of your needs in advance. And if you need some financial advice, that's where you go.
You had a fantastic 19-year run. Pat McQueen, you know, was a key for you, with you. And then in 2008, you leave the private bank. Dave Provost, why?
Well, in 2008, the private bank changed their philosophy a little bit and were looking for larger customers, and it was more centered in Chicago.
So you had sold.
We had sold the bank. and we were looking for, or I was looking for an opportunity to get back into the community banking, and looked around. In 2008, the world was starting to come to an end in the financial world, and I found a bank called First Michigan Bank. First Michigan Bank was a brand new bank that had just been established 6 months ago, and I was able to join up with that bank and invest a little money, equity, into that bank. And that was the transformation from private banking into more traditional community banking. A lot of interesting things then happened, because the world really came to an end in the financial world. And in 2009... banks were starting to fail, and they were starting to fail in Michigan. So what happened in 2009 was very, very interesting, was that there was no capital for Michigan banks. You could go all around the country. Michigan banks could not raise any capital. Very hard time, too. And banks that were in trouble were starting to fail, and there was no buyers. So there was a bank in New Baltimore that failed. No buyers. They shut the doors. There was a bank in Sterling Heights that failed. No buyers. They shut the door. And I thought that that was wrong. Michigan had a good story, and I thought we should tell that story. So I went around the country, and we raised some money, about $400 million, to invest in Michigan banks. It was a story at some of our worst times in our state, where the automobile companies were going through their issues. And we told the story of Michigan, that there's a lot of good people in Michigan and a lot of good opportunities. And we were able to raise that money.
All right, so you got $400 million. Pocket change for you, Dave Provost.
Well, from a Presbyterian missionary background, it's a little more than pocket change, but thank you.
Okay. On April 15th, 2010, First Michigan Bank had 30 employees, $75 million in assets, and you were the 140th largest bank in Michigan. You were golfing five times a week, I think.
Maybe four.
Okay. This is a great story. You told me once that you used to tell your wife, Christine, you were working when you really were golfing. Now he's working so hard, she didn't want him to work so hard. So now he tells her that he's golfing when he's really working. Okay. All right. But a little more than 2 years later, you got 48 banking centers. You've changed the name to Tomer Bank. You've got 794 employees, and you got $2.2 billion in assets from 30 employees. How'd you do it? Or how'd you and your team do it?
Well, first of all, we were very fortunate to have a great team. And even as a very small bank, we had a great team that had worked at larger banks before. We also had the go-ahead from our regulators, the FDIC. And we were able to then bid on a bank that failed in Port Huron called CF Bancorp. It had $1.3 billion of assets, and we were able to win that bid, which was the minnow taking over the whale. Part of the FDIC closure process, you have to have one of your employees go out to every one of their offices. They had 27 offices. We had 30 employees. So, plus we had to actually run our own bank at the same time. So we like in the old days, we deputized some employees to some of our friends and family to go out and represent the bank in these offices. And it worked out very nicely. When a bank is failing, their employees in those banks that are still great employees, it's not their fault that they failed. You know, you're working in the boiler room of the Titanic. It's not your fault that the ship is sinking. So we were able to then save a lot of jobs, and team up with those employees and be able to really create a great bank.
All right, the name of the bank was First Michigan Bank of Michigan, and you and Gary Torgo decided to change the name to Tomer Bank and Trust. Why?
Well, there's two reasons. One is there's a credit union, Michigan First Credit Union, that thought that we had kind of trespassed on their name, and we're good neighbors, and we had accidentally walked on their yard, so we agreed to change our name. At the same time, we were buying a bank in Wisconsin. It was a year and a half ago. It was the weekend that Michigan was hosting Wisconsin in football. And we thought it'd be it really wouldn't be a great marketing idea to put up First Michigan Bank in the state of Wisconsin, especially on the weekend that they were playing playing Michigan. Now, we love the people in Wisconsin, but I don't know if the name First Michigan would really play in Wisconsin. So we decided to change the name.
Why Tomer?
Well, when you're looking for names, if you've ever thought about how you name a bank, all the normal bank names are gone. You know, you got Citizens, you got Guarantee or whatever. And we needed to change the name very quickly. So we did a search, and every name that came up was already taken. So we looked and thought about our history and our backgrounds. And our grandparents, Gary Torgo's grandfather and my grandfather, dedicated their entire lives to community service. And so we thought, why don't we name it after them? My grandfather's name is Talmadge, and his grandfather's name is Merzon. We combined the two, and we got Talmer Bank and Trust.
Magic. I once said to you, you know, Dave, you guys have bought 10 banks. And you said, Jack, we don't buy them, we save them. These FDIC-assisted Friday night transactions.
Well, when the banking industry has been very tough, as you know, around the country, and in fact around the world, and sometimes banks fail. It is unfortunate. When they fail, we want to make sure, working with the FDIC, most importantly, that all the depositors are taken care of. So that's the first thing that we look at, is how do we take care of all the depositors, make sure not one depositor loses one penny. And every one of the banks that we've taken over, we can say that. The employees are a little distressed because they know that it's failing. And we can come in and we can help the depositors. We can help the loan customers. And we can help the employees. It's like playing football, and you go from defense to offense. So these banks have been playing defense for a long time, just trying surviving, and now we're giving them a lot of capital and get out there and make some loans and really be a part of the community.
We're talking to Dave Provost, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're with Dave Provost, the chairman, president, and CEO of Tomer Bank and Trust. And he and his team, since 2010, have acquired Citizens First Bank, People's State Bank, Community Central Bank, Lakeshore Wisconsin Corporation, and First Banking Center in Wisconsin. Dave, the easy thing is acquiring the bank. The much harder thing is to bring these five different families together in one heartbeat and have them all going in the same direction as one unified team.
Well, that's
a journey.
That's the challenge. But we have great team members that have really stepped up to the plate. And that, as I said earlier, these are great bankers. They just happen to be in the wrong bank at the wrong time. And so we're able to take them. And we really focus on customer service and caring about the community. And we instill that in everybody that we have. We tell a story about really participating in the community and being involved and looking for opportunities to help people. Don't just wait for the ask to come in. Be out and be involved. Be a member of the community. Join some nonprofits and do some good things.
Your niche, your focus is community banking and community lending. What does that mean?
Community banking is not I could explain what it is by saying what it's not. It's not mega banking. It's not large corporate banking. It's getting down into the communities where you have the smaller businesses, businesses that maybe have $10 million in sales or less, businesses that are working on the street corners and the mom and the pops and really understanding and helping them out. And also being a part of the community for some of the civic services that the communities do.
Your culture is community, caring, integrity, service. Your parents, the missionaries, their entire lives were devoted to taking care of others. Dave Provost, if you do that in business today, you'll go broke.
I would say just the opposite. I would say taking care of others is exactly what we're trying to do and what we do. And we will be very profitable doing that. You have to be reasonable with what you do with your customers and how much you can actually take care of them. But there's a lot of ways of using your ingenuity and your efficiency to be able to help people, to be able to get them the loan that is able to continue their business, to be able to help them get their house so that they can live, to be able to even help them with a difficult situation that they might have with a credit issue or whatever.
You mentioned helping out in the community, non-for-profits, etc. A year ago, you decided to become the co-sponsors of the Detroit Free Press Marathon for 2011-2012.
So the marathon is a great way of participating in the community. We had over 100 of our employees running in that marathon. It was an opportunity for a lot of people to be exposed to Detroit and to help Detroit. It's a great event, teaming up with the Free Press. It really was a lot of fun for us, and the exposure to Detroit was I think is very important. The positive things that are happening in Detroit, we wanted to participate with that.
Is Dave Provost going to participate in the 2012 marathon?
I am very happy to say that my wife is participating. She and her friends do the half marathon. I have a lot of responsibilities in shooting off the gun to start with and to holding that banner at the end. So,
all right, we've mentioned a fella Gary Torgo a couple times. He's the chairman of Talmer Bancorp Inc. He's a mensch. Tell us about Gary Torgo.
Gary Torgo is my business partner and one of my best friends. Gary came to the old manufacturer's bank and needed a loan when he was a young attorney, and I was a brand new loan officer. And in the banking business, the new customers usually get to the new loan officers, and we developed a friendship, and we've done a lot of projects together. When we set up the Bank of Bloomfield Hills, he was customer number 0001. And you have to have the first customer when you open a bank, as far as the FDIC rules. He was the first customer. That was in 1989. He joined the board of the private bank, and we've done a lot of good things together for the community and for business. It's a great partner. Picking the right friends is one of the most important things that you do in your life.
I mentioned the term or the word mensch. In the Jewish community, a mensch is a man that's a terrific human being, just a great person, and Gary Torgo is a mensch. Another very important person in your life right now is Wilbur Ross. He's your major investor. Talk to us about Wilbur Ross.
Fantastic individual. When we were doing our roadshow in raising the money, one of our visits was to his office in New York. And you don't get to see Mr. Ross on your first visit. His team liked the idea and invited us back. And in about a half an hour, Wilbur Ross understood our strategy. He's been involved in Michigan with some other investments, and he was fully committed to our process. He says, whatever you need, I'm in. And the most that somebody can invest in a bank is 24.9%. He said, whatever you need, I'm in for 24.9. He's on our board. He is a great asset to us, a lot of good advice. Being able to use that experience for a young man in Michigan is invaluable.
Arguably, Dave, and we're talking to Dave Provost, the chairman, president, and CEO of Tomer Bank & Trust. Arguably today, the banking business is the most highly regulated industry. Talk to us about the regulations, the checks and balances.
Well, the regulations, there is a lot of things that we do. And banks have had issues over the years. And so from the safety and soundness part of it, there is it's very good to have all the regulations in the banks. But on some of the other issues, we just closed a mortgage for somebody. It was 100 pages of documents. The regulations are so complex that you have to have teams of people just making sure those documents are correct, and the customers don't even read them. So, from that standpoint, maybe we have a little too much regulation. The safety and soundness, we're very happy to have that support.
You have 20 people full-time employed just doing compliance work at this point.
That's correct, and it's very, very, very important in a bank of our size and the growth pattern that we have to make sure you get it right. So we are over the top in making sure that every I is dotted and every T is crossed.
As mentioned earlier, you've acquired two banks in Wisconsin, Lakeshore Wisconsin Corporation and First Banking Center in Wisconsin. Why did you select Wisconsin?
Well, in the FDIC failure business, you really don't have a lot of choices of where the next bank is going to fail. The FDIC invites you, and you have a choice of either bidding on that bank or not bidding on that bank. The bank we first bought in Wisconsin, First Banking Center, was a very, very good bank. High-quality bank. It had a couple of issues that were very easily identified, and a great team. And our strategy is to be a Midwest bank. Wisconsin fits right in. I went to the Wisconsin School of Banking, so I spent some time in Wisconsin, and it was really a great opportunity for us to buy a really quality franchise.
We're talking to Dave Provost, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Jack Rasula, this is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Dave Provost, Chairman CEO of Tomer Bank. And 2.5 years ago, they had 30 employees, $75 million in assets. Today, 48 banking centers, 800 employees, $2.2 billion in assets, and very importantly, you have access right now, Dave, to over $500 million in capital, which, because of the 10-to-1 ratio, means you could be a $5 billion bank in assets. What's your plans?
Well, we're very unique in that we have the access to all that capital, which we're very fortunate to have. What we're doing is we have two different strategies. One is we're growing the bank what we call organically, and that is the normal way of growing a bank. We make loans, we take deposits, and that growth has been substantial. But to really get up to the level that we want to be, it's through acquisitions. The banking business today is really going to have a lot of consolidation. How many times do you drive by a branch at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and you see two cars in the parking lot, the teller and the general teller? Customers don't come into the bank like they used to. And the banking industry has all these branches all over the state and all over the country. It's a delivery mechanism that is a little antiquated. You have to have some branches, but you don't need that many. Outside of my office, you can look around, and I can see five different banking centers. We don't need that many in a 1 mile stretch. So there is going to be a lot of consolidation. And Talmer Bank wants to be a part of that. With our capital, we can help some banks and partner up with them and really grow through mergers and acquisitions. Now, there's two different types of mergers. You have the FDIC failures. The FDIC, we haven't been seeing as many of those lately, which is a good thing. And then you have open bank transactions, which is a typical merger that you see two banks getting together. There will be a lot of those in the future because there are no baby banks being born. There are no new banks being formed. There is 8,000 banks now, and that number will shrink down. The regulations are so costly that it is not profitable to be running smaller banks as it used to.
Dave Provost, what did your missionary mom and your missionary dad teach you about the banking business?
Well, it's all about service and serving others. I'll tell you a story about a family reunion that I was at. On my mother's side, 250 people at this reunion in Montreat, North Carolina. Nice Presbyterian retreat. On that Saturday dinner where everybody shows up with their name tags, my cousin got up and said, "How many of you are missionaries?" Of the 250, 50 people stood up. "How many of you are ministers?" Big difference. 50 people stood up for that. "How many of you are school teachers?" 25. "Social workers, doctors." "How many of you are in business?" 3 of us stood up out of 250. Myself, my sister, and one black sheep cousin. And we actually got booed. But then I told the story about time, you know, treasure and talent and being able to give back to the community. And I said, I have a little time and I have a little talent, but treasure is something that I can do. So I have now helped my mother build a school in Malawi in memory of my father.
You know, I've always told you, you're more than a pretty face, Dave Provost. So, in business today, every day is a tryout. Talk about that.
We have customers every day that give us challenges. We have employees that give us challenges. We want to do the best we can for everybody that we're involved with. In the banking business, it seems like the perception of a banker has diminished over the years. In fact, no offense to my dentist friend, but it's better for some customers would rather go to the dentist than come to the bank. So we're in a situation where we really need to help these customers, and we're really trying our best.
You and Christine have 2 children, and both of you started with nothing. You know, you talk about your days in South Korea working in Mackinac City. The kids today in these suburbs, I see this over and over, where the parents, in the mistaken name of love, they're denying their teenagers and their young adults the great experience of life. They want to save the kid from everything, the very things that made the parents who they are today. Talk to us about letting the kids experience life.
Well, letting the kids experience life is a number of things for us. One is failure. You have to be able to let them fail. Giving a trophy to every kid is really not the what's happening in life. My children are now in college. There's no free lunch in college. You either are able to do the program, or you have to find a new program. Financially, you can't give these kids everything that they want. There's always more. And you have to have them be responsible for financially of what they're doing and how they're managing their money.
In the same vein, talk to us about generational wealth.
Well, generational, in the private banking business, we did a lot with generational wealth. And it is very interesting how many people fail at the second or third generation and how many are successful. And the ones that are successful are the ones that have their children work hard and don't give them, you know, don't give them everything and let them create a life for themselves rather than handing them everything.
You've stayed humble. I think your mom and dad would be proud of you. Talk about staying humble.
Well, when you grow up in an environment where you really have nothing, and you see the joy and the love that is around a family and around a community without material things, there are so many things that you can do when you have the resources that you don't have to spend it on yourself. I do spend a little bit. I don't have two Cadillacs, so I might have one, but you are you have the ability to really help people. When my mother came to me and said, "We're going to build a school in honor of your father in Malawi," I mean, it's like that was a great honor for me to go there and spend time there and build a school.
As our time winds down together tonight, Dave Provost, last question. What advice would you give to our young listeners this evening?
Well, the first thing is manage your money. Have some resources. Don't count on everybody else. Be able to have a little reserve. Don't spend every dollar. Save a little. Gives you the opportunity to invest a little. And then take that free time that you have. Instead of being on the computer or doing something that's non-productive, take a little time. Donate it to a community service, to your church, or wherever you can spend some time to help others.
Dave Provost, thanks for believing in Michigan. And thanks for what you and your team are doing, and most importantly, the way you're doing it. Keep up the great work.
Great, Jack. Thank you very much, and have a great night.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spawn.
Looks like you're the only believer around.